happens when you say yes to God? Amen. You get to fill in. You get to help sing with Tanya. So glad to have you tonight on First Wednesday, our first Wednesday of 2020. The first Wednesday of 2020 was the first day of the year, so we decided not to meet. So I'm glad that you're here tonight. If you have a Bible, and by the way, it's good to bring a Bible to church. You can pull out those bad boys and you can turn to 2 Kings 19 and John chapter 15. And I want to share tonight a word as I was praying, Lord, what do you want us to talk about? Now, that's a question. That's a conversation me and God have a lot. God, what do you want me to talk about? But this week, as I was praying over this Wednesday, as we begin a new year, I titled my message, Roots and Fruits. Can you say that with me? Roots and Fruits. All right, there we go. And this is a continuation of what I shared with you guys, those of you who were here on first Wednesday in December, as I shared what I felt the Lord was impressing on my heart that he wanted us to focus on, kind of give us a vision for the future as a church family as we enter into a new season, a new year, a new decade, a new, lots of things, right? A new day. And so the Lord gave us three words as we entered into this new year, and I shared them with you, and I'm going to keep sharing them with you probably again and again, because I believe the Lord is calling us to look at these words. And the first word was the word prepare, that God was having us as a church begin to prepare the soil, prepare the roadway, as it were, for people to come into the house of God to prepare for what God wanted to do. And sometimes in life, we've got to prepare, don't we? When we got company coming over, we got to really prepare. That's my favorite day of the week. It's actually my least favorite day, but it's my favorite day after everyone leaves, right? Because the house is all clean. But we get to prepare. And as God's people, we have that same sort of role and job for preparing ourselves for whatever it is that God wants to do. The second word the Lord gave us as we entered into 2020 was this word fruitful. And that's, we're going to spend some time rooted in that word tonight, talking about being fruitful. But I felt like the Lord was calling us and telling us that there's a season of fruitfulness that he's about to do in our midst, and he wants us to be ready for it. And we're going to talk about that today. And finally, the last word was the word multiply. And this idea that God loves addition, but God is calling us to a season of multiplication. And we're trying to do that with our community groups in a number of different ways. We'll talk more about that as the year goes on. But tonight, 2 Kings chapter 19, I shared this verse with you guys in December. And it's just going to be family style tonight. Is that okay? We just go through the word and talk. I don't have any slides, so if you didn't bring your Bible, you're going to be lost. So bring a Bible, pull out your phone. If you got a phone, it's got an app on it, I'm sure. But 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 29 says this, as the Lord is speaking to his people, Israel, as they're entering in to the promised land and returning from a season of difficulty, the Lord says this, 2 Kings 19, 29, and this shall be the sign for you. This year, eat what grows of itself. And in the second year, what springs of the same. Then in the third year, sow and reap and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again, here's the words, take root downward and bear fruit upward. Would you say those words with me? Take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord will do this. And as I was praying about tonight, those two words, roots and fruits, those are the things that I felt like the Lord was calling us to focus our minds on and think deeply about and really ask, Holy Spirit, what does that mean for me? Because I believe God wants us to take roots downward and bear fruits upward. And those two things have to go hand in hand. That if there's going to be fruit above the surface, there has to be a work that happens below the surface. The things that are seen are a fruit. They're a follow-up to what happens under the soil that nobody sees. And I felt like there's something important for us as God's people to be focused in on that secret place, that place that no one sees. We can call that our devotional life. We can call that our time with God. We can call that our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something of that fruitfulness that comes from that rootedness, that place where no one sees. No one sees whether you read your Bible or not, or whether you talk with God throughout your week. Those are things that are hidden, and they should be hidden. Jesus said, don't just stand on a mountaintop and pray for everyone to see, because you're just showing off, and that's what it's its own reward. But if you really want to bear fruit, then there's something of investing in that time of going deep with God, where God says, I want you to know me. I want you to bear deep roots. And this is something that I want us to ask this question of ourselves. God, what does that mean? Not what does it mean for them? Not what does it mean for Abby or Rebecca or Lisa or somebody else in this room? But God, what does it mean for me? How do I bear fruit upward and take root downward? God, what does that look like in the practical everyday stuff of life? And here's the thing I know, and here's the thing I believe strongly and deeply, that God has gifted his church with spiritual gifts. He's gifted you with something unique. Your unique kingdom contribution, as my district supervisor loves to say that phrase, and I love it, that God has created you for a unique kingdom contribution, that he's put gifts in you, he's put talents in you, he's put abilities in you, he's put spiritual gifts in you. And sometimes you don't follow them out, you don't pursue them because you don't know what they are. By the way, our next step three, comes through that. Because I want you to discover that. Maybe you've already been through it. Do it again. I want everyone to just come audit that class this month on the third Sunday. Because there's something powerful about asking God, what are the gifts that you put in me? And how can I use them to take roots downward so that my life might bear fruit upward? Because there's something profound that happens when we will do that. And God is calling us individually and collectively to a new season of fruitfulness. Now, I don't know if you're hearing that word or not, but that's a word that I believe is for you. He's calling you and he's calling us to a new season of fruitfulness. And I don't just mean fruitfulness like my wife, who's having our sixth baby. I don't mean that. Some of y'all heard that word. Maybe that's for you. Maybe it's not. That's the Lord in you. But God is calling us to be fruitful in some way. He's calling your life to make a difference. And I believe a prophetic word for our church family is this. This is a season of fruitfulness, that God is calling you to a new measure of fruitfulness. And maybe you had a fruitful beginning a long time ago with God. Maybe you had a season where you felt like God was doing in your life amazing things and he was working powerfully and he was like present, like you could sense he was there. And now you're not feeling that. God's saying, I'm calling you to a new season of fruitfulness, but there's going to be some things that you have to do along the way. There's going to be some cultivation of the soil. There's going to be some pruning of the branches. There's going to be some work that I need to do in you. You don't have to do it of yourself, but you have to avail yourself to me working in helping you to go deep with your roots and go up with your fruits. And that's what the Lord would want us to do. Amen? John 15, verse 1 through 7, actually 1 through 8. If you have your Bible, you can flip over to there. John 15, some of y'all have heard this passage a time or two. But Jesus is speaking about horticulture. He's talking about vines and branches here. Some of y'all love horticulture. You got green thumbs. I do not, but I'm getting one. But here's what it says. John 15, 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father, he's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he leaves it alone. Nope, that's not what it says, is it? It says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. That's a self-evident statement, isn't it? If I cut a branch off a tree, it's not going to grow an apple. That's just not the way it works in the things of nature. He says, a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Say nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. This is how we bring glory to God, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. See, Jesus says a lot of things here. One of the things he says is there's something important about us abiding in him and his word abiding in us. How does his word abide in us? We eat it. Yeah, we got to eat it. We got to take root of it. We got to open up his word and take root. Allow it to penetrate into the inner man, the inner part of my life, to marinate, to ruminate on the things of God and allow those things to penetrate, just not just my mind, but my heart. That's how I take his word into me. He says, if you'll abide in me and allow my word to abide in you, then you're going to start bearing much fruit. See, Jesus is the true vine. He is the only source of spiritual nourishment for our souls that will sustain us, that will bring life to us, that will keep us nourished and fed, and most importantly, that will make us fruitful. Sometimes we wonder, God, why am I not seeing any of the fruits of the Spirit birth in my life? And I'd ask you, are you abiding in Christ? You say, God, I'm not seeing the same joy, the same peace, those same things that your word declares will come to me as a fruit of the Spirit. And I ask you, are you abiding in him? Are you drawing near to him? This isn't a condemnation, but maybe this is a subtle course correction to say, God, I want to abide in a new measure in you. I want your word to abide in me so that I might bear fruit for the kingdom and for you. See, all of those fruitful things come as a direct outflow of being connected to Jesus Christ. See, it's only in Christ that our lives are able to bear fruit for God. That's the only way we can do it. We can fake it. We can get an apple from the store and duct tape it onto the branch, but it's not real, is it? And sometimes we try and do that. We try and go, well, I can't bear fruit, so I'll take one of those. I'll fake it till I make it, God. And that's not what the Lord wants. He says, I want you to be fruitful. But to do so, you've got to abide. And this is a word for you individually, but this is a word for us collectively. That if we be a people, sounds good. If we be a people that root ourselves in the things of God, he's going to be a God that will produce fruit in our midst. He's going to do a work in our lives and around us and through us if we're connected to Christ. You know, this whole idea, I always come back to a story I read in one of my mentors from afar, who wrote a book about mentors from afar, how ironic, Wayne Cordero, who in his book, The Divine Mentor, some of y'all have read it. If you haven't, you should pick it up. It's a good book. But in his book, The Divine Mentor, he talks about this importance of cultivating roots to nourish our souls. And he talks about how we got to protect the root system. And he quotes, there was a famous piano player, and I'm going to probably butcher his name because he's Polish, but his name is Ignaz Jan Paderewski. There you go. I kind of said it. But this was a famous piano player in Poland. And during the war, his government asked of him to play piano in front of a large crowd so they could raise money for the war effort. And being a patriot of his nation, he said yes. But he had one stipulation. He said, I'll work for you and I'll play at these concert halls to raise money for the war effort with one stipulation, and that's that you allow me to play scales for 3 hours every day. He said, you can pay me for 8 hours, but the first 3 hours I need to play scales every day. And they're like, you're a world-class piano player. Why on earth would you need to, if you don't know what scales are, that's like the very basic of the thing they teach kids when they're learning to do their finger exercises on the piano. And they said, why do you need to do scales for 3 hours a day? That seems like a lot. And this is what he said. He said, here's why. Because if I don't do scales and then I get up on the stage to perform, the first day that I don't do scales, I can tell the difference. My fingers aren't as limber and I don't have the agility to do it. The second day, if I've gone 2 days without playing those scales, my coach, my trainer, he can tell that I'm off. There's something not quite right. And on the third day, if I haven't done scales and I get up to perform, the world knows it. And as he said those words, something in my heart goes a pitter-patter to say, Lord, what would happen if I was disconnected from your word for a day? I think I would notice it, and I know it to be true, that as I get into his word, if I skip a day, I'm too tired, God, I don't have time for it, I'm going to just put your word aside, that I go a day, my wife might not notice it, but I can tell there's something not right. There's something of hunger that's inside of me. I go a second day, my wife starts saying, what's wrong with you? There's something going on with you. Are you okay? Right? People around me, my family, my friends, they can detect there's something not right, and by the third day, man, the world can tell. Because I'm cutting people off. No, I'm not doing that. But by that third day, they can tell. And I'll just tell you a phrase that has wrecked my life. Can I tell you? It's going to wreck your life too, and I pray that it does in a good way. And it's by, again, another mentor from afar, Jack Hayford, who said, I don't know where he said it or where I picked it up, but it's just wrecked my life ever since. And he said this. He was describing his nightstand in his bedroom, and he said, you know, every night when I look over at that little light on the edge of my bed, and I'm getting ready to turn it off because I've had a long day, I always think to myself, I'm not going to let that light go out before his light has gone in. And that phrase haunts me every night when I look at my nightstand. Because I remember, and I say that, and there's times where my wife will whisper those words to me. They'll say, hon, did you let his light in yet? I say, nope, light goes back on. And there's days that I haunt her with those words, in love. But there's something powerful about making that statement, and that's a statement that every time I go to bed, I say, before I turn my light out, have I let his light in? Before I call it a day, before I call it quits, have I allowed God to wrestle with my heart, to pierce my heart with his word, with his living and active word that's sharper than any two-edged sword? God, have I allowed you to penetrate to my heart? Because if I haven't, I'm not ready yet. I'm not going to go to bed. I don't care if it's late. I don't care if I've had a long day and 100 appointments and everything went wrong and everything that could go wrong did go wrong. God, before I turn that light out, I'm going to let your light go in. And I'll tell you, it's been a discipline in my life that saved my soul on countless occasions. On those nights, especially when I want to turn the light out before his light's gone in. Those are the days I need it the most. Those are the days I need to stay up and read it even more. But those are the days where the Lord says, I want to meet you and allow those roots to go deep to sustain you. And friends, I'll just tell you, if you'll cultivate a root system that goes deep, that when the storms of life come, when the dry seasons come, God says, my word will sustain you and those deep roots will cultivate you and carry you through any season of darkness and any season of dryness. God wants that for you. One of my favorite scriptures in the book of Acts, as it's describing, and we're going to get there in like 2 months by the time we get to Acts chapter 4, but we'll get there. I'm going to give you a sneak peek. But Acts 4 verse 13 is the Jewish people, they see Peter and they see John and they see these men that are just like, they're like, I don't know, firecrackers for Jesus. And they're preaching this Jesus and they're talking about him in a powerful way. And it says this in Acts 4:13. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They weren't educated. They weren't professors. They weren't elders in their church. They were just common men. They were astonished. And catch this. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. See, friends, I don't ever want the world to acknowledge me and say, wow, what a smart guy. I don't want the world to look at me and say any of those things. I want them to look at me and say, that guy's got something different. He must have been with Jesus. And that's my prayer every day, and that's my prayer for you, that your life would be so marked by your time with Jesus in Christ, abiding in the vine and being nourished and filled with the nutrients that you need to bear fruit, that people would look at your life and say, there's something different. He's connected to a whole different kind of source than the one I got, because there's fruits coming out of his life that I ain't got. There's things that are happening over there that I don't understand, but I want it, and I need to be part of whatever that is. That's the sort of thing that Peter and John had. They recognized that they'd been with Jesus, and I ask you that question, would anyone recognize that you've been with Jesus? And this isn't a question of condemnation. This isn't a question of shame. This is a question of self and introspective look to say, Lord, is my life bearing the sort of fruit that, as your word says, will give glory to the Father, will demonstrate to the whole world that there's something about me that I'm abiding in you? And if not, what must I change? And that's the only question we can ask. God, if my life is not bearing the sort of fruit that you desire, what must I change? And we must be people that are willing to ask those questions and pray those prayers and say, Lord, I want to bear fruit. See, to remain fruitful, to have fruit born in our lives, we have to be willing to allow God access. Access to add, access to remove. Some of us love the idea, God, give me, I need a blessing. Give me blessing, right? We have no problem praying those prayers. but we don't like praying the other prayers. God, would you take away what you don't want? You know, we hold our wallet and clench our muscle. God, would you take away whatever it is you don't want? Not that stuff over here. This stuff, no. But take away whatever you want. We don't like to pray those prayers. But to be fruitful, we have to allow God to add and to remove. Of course, I foolishly pulled my car keys out of my pocket. But we got to allow God to have the keys. There's areas in our hearts and areas in our lives that we have closed the door and we have put a key to it and said, God, not that area. I'll give you my soul. I'll give you my Sunday morning. I'll give you this, but not this. This area is off limits, Lord. And maybe we don't say it just like that, but there's areas of our hearts that God says, I need you to give me the keys. I need you to give me access. I need you to allow me to go there. I was thinking about that this morning. We had an inspector from the city, a building inspector, and they've got to have access. And he was checking out our roof because we're going to do some things on the roof to repair some holes that are there. But he asked a question. He said, if I need access to the back of the building to go take a look, can I do that? And I said, yes, sir, whatever you need. I'll open the door for you, whatever you need. And he didn't need it. But there was something of it in my spirit that said, this man is a building inspector. If he wants access, he needs access. And I think sometimes we need to have that perspective of God. That God says, hey, can I look over there? Well, you can look anywhere, but don't look over there, God. Don't look through that door, God, because it's dark. There's no light on over there. Don't go in that door. And to allow God to bear fruit in our lives, we have to give him access to every part of our lives. See, we often trust God to give, but I don't believe we often trust God to take away. What I love about Job, and I pray that you don't go through the experiences of Job as you read through his account in the book named after him in the Bible, but I pray that you'd have the perspective of Job in Job 121 after going through a difficult thing. He says these words. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And my prayer for you is that would be your perspective, that we would genuinely, and maybe it's at first we're going to have trepidation as we pray, God, would you give, and would you take away what you don't want? We'd pray that prayer, and like Job, we'd say, Lord, you've given, you take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I ask you the question, what keys do you need to surrender to the Lord? Some of y'all might be your car keys. Some of y'all might be a key to a secret cabinet or a secret place in your heart. And God says, would you allow me to bring healing and wholeness to that area of your soul? Psalm 119, verse 23. Some of y'all are familiar with it. You could quote it without me even reading it. The Lord, David says this prayer. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. See, he understood this whole concept that if God was going to use his life to do something of substance, something of importance, something that left an impact and a legacy behind, then he needed to get right with God and say, God, would you search my heart? If there's something that's not right in me, would you just take it away? Would you help me to shine a light on it so we can turn it off and say no to that and push it away? Because God, I don't want anything in my heart that you can see that I'm pretending doesn't exist that's not right with you. So he says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, I believe God needs unrestricted access to our hearts and to our lives. And this is a place of vulnerability. There's no other way to put it. To be vulnerable before God and to say, God, I trust that this is a little scary. And sometimes we feel like that in worship. We might raise our hands and say, it's a little weird. But God, I trust you. And this posture carries over beyond just the physical. The reason we raise our hands is not because we get closer to God when we raise our hands a little higher, right? Short people don't have a disadvantage. Tall people don't have an advantage. Bless the Lord. But we do this posture and we kneel before God and worship, not because there's something super spiritual, but because it aligns my physical body with my heart and says, God, I kneel before you. Because you are King, you are Lord. There's something powerful and profound that I speak to my own soul when I put myself in those postures, when I raise my hands before God. It's not because I'm saying it's a good, you had a touchdown, God, goal. It's because I'm saying, God, I surrender. And sometimes my body needs to be reminded of what my soul says. Don't you know that? There's times where my body says, let's sleep in, and my soul says, no, let's open up God's word and hear from him tonight. And there's times where I have to line my body up with what God is speaking and telling me to do on the inside. See, but God cuts away and God prunes. Every branch in me, Jesus says, that does not bear fruit, he, the Father, takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. See, this is an idea and a concept that we do not like. I don't want the idea of being pruned. But there's something of health that comes from it. And, you know, the Lord is specifically here talking about the idea that if we don't abide in him, if our lives aren't bearing fruit, we're going to be cut away. And there's a fire for those branches that get pulled off the vine. There's something of importance of eternal life that he's speaking of here. But I think it's even goes beyond that. I believe there's something of a looking at our own lives and saying, God, is there things in my life that I'm doing that I used to do? And when I did it 10 years ago, when I did it 5 years ago, when I did it last week, I was seeing fruit, I was seeing health, I was seeing something good. And now when I look at that branch in my life, it's not bearing fruit. It's not healthy. It's just a routine that I'm in. But God, I'm not bearing any fruit. I'm not drawing closer to you. I'm not being nourished in you. I'm doing it in my own strength and not doing it with the strength that comes from abiding in the vine. And I think there's something of importance for us to acknowledge that reality, that there's things in our lives that perhaps, maybe, just maybe, they used to bear fruit and now they're no longer bearing fruit. And God says, if you'll allow me, I'll cut those things away. And if you've ever cut away a dead branch or a branch that's not being fruitful, what happens to that plant in almost every situation is it begins to birth new branches and it begins to sprout new life in a different direction. And I believe sometimes there's things in our lives that we're really comfortable with. These branches that, man, we got really used to having. They're really pretty and we think they're cool. And man, they used to have a lot of roses on them. Thinking of my rose bushes. And they had the best rose came from that one. But it's not bearing any fruit. There's nothing good that's coming on that. And God says, if you would allow me to cut that thing away, I'm going to produce fruit in a different direction in your life. I'm going to do something that you never expected me to do. See, there are areas that maybe they once bore fruit and now they're not. And then there's areas of our lives that are bearing fruit. And God says, if you'll allow me, I'll delicately prune those areas. I'll allow you. You think, man, there's no way it could get better than this, God. It's really good right now. And God says, I'll prune it so that it'll bear even more fruit. And that's true in horticulture. That's true as we cultivate a garden. It's also true in our spiritual walk. And God says, there's things in your life that if you'll let me, if you'll just have this posture that says, God, I'm okay with you doing whatever you want to do because you're a better gardener than I am. Now, some of y'all, that's an easy thing to say. That's an easy prayer for me to pray. God, you're a way better gardener than I am, so I trust you with the vine. I trust you with the fruit. But there's areas where God says, would you allow me to do those things? And he prunes what's fruitful so that we can thrive. He does those works in us so that our lives will bear fruit. See, cutting the branches off and pruning the branches. It sounds painful, doesn't it? And sometimes it can be. Sometimes it will be as God cuts away those things in our lives and we lay those things aside and say, God, those are for yesterday. Or those are for before Christ, in my days BC, before Christ. And now I want a new level of fruitfulness. I want to take roots downward and bear fruit upward. So God, I'm willing to allow you to do those things in my life. But I'll just tell you, friends, it's always good. That if we'll trust God with those things, he'll always do something good. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. And I have to believe that he's saying those words because he's telling us that there's other vines that we can attach our lives to. There's other things that we can root ourselves in that are not the true vine. And God says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. And he wants us to abide in him. So I want us to do this for a few minutes. I'm going to pray over us a blessing. And then I want you to take what we've shared and talked about tonight. And I want you to spend just a couple minutes, just you and the Lord. And I want you to ask him two questions. God, what is it that you want me to know? What is it that you want me to take away from this? What is there something that I needed to learn tonight? What is the thing that you're wanting to speak to me? What's a point of application or maybe two or maybe 20 things that you want me to do? And then secondly, God, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to change? Is there a door in my heart that you want me to open? Is there an area of my life that I've closed off to you that you're saying, would you just open that area? Would you give me access to that door? Or perhaps there's some other thing that God is calling you to do, but I want you to ask him those questions. God, what do you want me to know and what do you want me to do? God, is there something in my life you want me to do? Is there a person you need me to forgive? Is there a conversation I need to have? Is there a branch that it needs to be cut off? Is there something in me that needs to be changed? And so I'm going to ask you to spend 2 minutes, spend a couple minutes. Let's just close our eyes right now before the Lord. I want to pray, and then I want you just to talk with the Lord for a few minutes. And then I'm going to have you turn to a couple of people and just share, God, this is what God spoke to me about, and here's what I want to do. So let me pray over you, and then we will spend just a couple minutes silently, quietly. I'll put some music on. We'll quietly just be before the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you are so altogether good to us. God, that no matter what happens in our lives, you are always with us. And Lord, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to our lives. Holy Spirit, we invite you to meet us right where we are tonight. And Lord, if there's something in our lives that you want to cut away, something you want us to leave behind that you say it's meant for the fire. It's not meant to stay in your life. It's meant for the fire. Lord, tonight, would you give us the strength and the conviction and the courage to know that, to hear your voice tonight. And God, would you give us the steps of what you want us to do? Because we need to know what you want us to know. We also need to know what you want us to do. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to meet us here. We pray that you would join us here. And as we spend just 2 minutes in your presence, because you are present, we invite you to speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak.